Welcome to the Strong John Fitness Podcast. This show is dedicated to helping you achieve your best body without the BS. We'll cover training, nutrition, basically everything you need for a successful fitness journey, and we'll have some fun along the way. I'm your host, John Vlahoyanakos. Let's get into it. Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to the show. I want to apologize. I haven't been as consistent as I should be putting episodes out. Truth be told, March was kind of a crazy month. There's a lot going on, but I'm not here to make excuses. I'm here to make content, I'm here to make a podcast and help you with some of the things that are, you know, giving you a hard time in your journey. Today's episode, as you can tell by the title, we're going to jump into emotional eating. A lot of the clients that I work with face this. I face this. If you're a human being listening to this podcast, I can pretty much guarantee you face this at one point or another throughout your journey. It's normal. And the first thing when it comes to emotional eating is to understand that it's okay. You're not a bad person for having an emotional response to something and turning to food. You know, food is more than just fuel. Food has emotional ties to it. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not a bad person. You're not less of a person. You're not, you know, less worthy of results because you, you know, emotionally eat from time to time. But this podcast is about emotional eating, how to overcome it, and different scenarios I'm gonna give you, and hopefully tips you can take away and use to improve your relationship with food and improve on, you know, maybe not emotional eating as much moving forward. What is emotional eating? Maybe let's start with that. Emotional eating can be generally defined as feeling overwhelmed or stressed out and using food as an outlet to relieve those feelings. I like to tell the story often about the pizza that I ordered after a fight with my then girlfriend, now currently wife, because I was just upset. She ordered a new pair of boots. I ordered a large pizza, and maybe dented a door a little bit, but, you know, it happens to all of us. I know that life can get very stressful different times of year. And for those of you with kids, you understand what I'm about to say is kids are stressful. They make you do things sometimes, whether you're reaching for a bag of chips or you're just munching on chocolate, and before you know it, you've kind of eaten half a bag. It happens. Or maybe you got some bad news at work on the way home and your first response was to stop at your favorite drive-thru, not to name any names. You know what I'm talking about. Or you do make it home, but you completely disregard what you had planned for dinner and maybe even cooked some stuff, but your emotions are like, no, I want that pizza. Which is usually, you know, that's my thing. As you can tell, why do we want this thing? You know, how do we get past the feeling so we're not, you know, potentially binge eating based on emotion? And I say binge eating because binge eating is a mindless exercise where, not exercise, a situation where you're not fully in the moment of like what you're doing as you're doing it. Binge eating becomes like you're just going to eat and eat and eat, and you're going to eat past the point of uncomfortable because you can. You've just kind of lost that consciousness in the moment, which is different from just overeating. You know, overeating happens pretty frequently. It's normal. Binge eating is something that's a little bit more serious. You know, you're not thinking as much or if at all during the moments of when binge eating is happening. But the first thing I want to talk about is the break the chain exercise. So basically what you're going to do, you're going to notice, observe, and record, you know, what happened leading up to any food craving, emotional eating, or any other times you feel out of control with the food and eating specific foods. Because every emotional eating scenario comes from other aspects of life, right? It's not a random occurrence. And here's how to break the chain. So first, you're going to start with any recent food or eating related episode that has troubled you, whether it was eating too much, eating foods you didn't want to, or you just felt out of control that you had to have the whole sleeve of Oreos, whatever it is, write down everything that happened to you just before the eating episode happened. go in as much detail as you need. You know, where were you? What were you doing? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? Who were you with? What time of day was it? Right? Get as many details as possible. And then now go back and see even further in your day and ask the same questions. Try to capture as much detail as possible, like I said, and then look at what you've written. Are there any patterns? Right? If you can notice a pattern, what you'll do is you'll do this exercise a few times. You might not see a pattern right away, but you'll look for links between what was happening in the days or hours before you had the food craving or emotional eating episode. And then if and when you find the pattern, be curious about them. Don't worry about fixing them right away. Just notice them. For example, if for you, maybe it's every time your mom calls and after you get out, you hang up the phone, you want to go get a piece of chocolate or a few pieces of chocolate. Or, you feel fine most of the month, but the week before your period hits, that's the time you just like, give me that craving and get out of my way kind of thing. Or maybe every time you come home from a long day of work and you need that glass of wine before you kind of freak out, right? These are things that you might notice for yourself. I know for me, I'm a little bit more irritable sometimes, some days of the week, depending on how busy the day is, if I have a lot of calls, or if it's just been a really, really long, busy week. I'm grateful for it, but at the same time, it does take a toll on the body and the mind. And the biggest thing to do from there is once you notice the pattern, because there usually is a pattern, you might notice the situations right away, or you might have to just come up with some solutions to those. So like instead of if it's the example with, hanging up the phone with your mother or mother-in-law or whatever it might be, instead of just hanging up the phone and, running to the chocolate, go outside. Get some of the pent-up energy out if you're frustrated, whatever it might be. Remove yourself from the situation where you're unable to reach for the chocolate. So by the time you come back from that walk, I'm sure you're thinking of something else. When it comes to that time of the month, ladies, I'm talking to you, plan in advance for the cravings you're going to have, right? You're going to need a few extra calories anyways. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you can plan that, you don't leave it up to chance anymore. Leave it up to how you're feeling in the moment. You've planned for those calories ahead of time. I talked to a ton of my clients about this. It's a very helpful solution to avoid, relying on your emotions to make those decisions. And, if you're the person that after a long day of work that you're like, you need that glass of wine or three, finding an activity after work to unwind or switch gears in a sense. So you're not going from work to home, still in that work mindset. If a lot of you are still working from home, I am working from home all the time. And it's not necessarily easy sometimes to like, okay, shut my work brain off at 5 and go upstairs and leave my work life at home or in the basement where I work out of and go up and spend time with the family. What I do, and this is something that I've worked with a therapist on, is just a breathing exercise. Just a very simple, but you got to be focused, breathing exercise where you just sit, eyes closed, no devices, no music, no nothing, and you just work on a deep breath count. It's like 3 rounds, 7 seconds on the way in, hold it for 4 seconds, 8 seconds on the way out. Do that 3-4 times. You'll feel completely different. That would be your trigger to leave the work at work, go upstairs, shift gears, shift your mind, where just doing the breathing alone sometimes can really make a humongous difference in relieving how you're feeling when it comes to, that emotional outlet where you want to just grab that glass or three of wine. So, you might not find solutions right away. They might not work right away. That's completely normal. This stuff is not easy to implement. Again, we're emotional beings. That's normal. But working at it is going to be the biggest thing, where you might not be perfect. It might not work every single day of the week. But if you're noticing you are making some changes, you're seeing some improvements where you're not reaching as much because of these solutions, that's a big deal. And you want to lean into that as much as possible. Something else that I've actually talked with my clients about last week when it comes to emotional eating is something called urge surfing. So basically what that means is you're going to notice the urge to want to grab something, right? You want to grab that food, that wine, whatever it is. And you're going to treat it like a wave. And you're going to ride the wave out. You're going to sit and bask in, you know, what's going on? How are you feeling in the moment? And if you notice a pattern already, there's a lot of mindfulness attached to this. You're taking back control of what you're doing in said moment, because that's going to be the biggest thing. That's going to be super important, is to know how you're feeling. Recognize the feelings while you're riding the wave of having that urge to go grab whatever it might be. Ask yourself some questions. You know, am I really hungry right now? What is it that's making me reach for that pizza or the glass of wine, chocolate, chips, insert vice here? Am I going to feel better after indulging in it? Which 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. But be honest with yourself. This is extremely important. Again, these exercises aren't easy, but they can be crucial, and they can be the difference maker in a lot of people's fitness journey, whether they're going to end up losing the weight they want to lose or not. It's not succumbing to how they're feeling every single moment when food is presented to them or how they're feeling in that moment. Ride the wave. Ask yourself the tough questions. Does this align with my goals? Am I going to feel better after? And if all else fails, my go-to is leave the room. Leave the room and tell someone that you're leaving the room, so that way you're accountable. Accountability is very, very simple sometimes. When you do that, when you leave the room, you're removing yourself from the temptations there. Don't take your phone with you. You don't need it. And you should already have Uber Eats and all that skip the dishes stuff removed from your phone anyways. But remove yourself from the room. That way, there's no chance of you grabbing any of that stuff. Give yourself 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes to just be out of that room. And I'm saying, like, you know, the room where the food is that you really, really want in that moment. For me here in our house, everything's in the kitchen and dining room area. My office is in the basement. The bedrooms are upstairs. So I can literally go to a different floor, which is the most helpful to remove myself from, you know, said urges. So when you can leave the room, tell someone you're leaving. Again, it's accountability. And you're not coming back until the urge is passed. So you ride the urge, ride the wave, and give yourself time. It's not easy. Over time, you should need less time to ride the wave, but it's all in practice. Hopefully you're still with me so far. It was about 10 minutes of just talking a lot about mindfulness and being self-aware. The other thing I quickly want to touch on, I like to keep these episodes relatively short, about a normal Netflix episode, not like an Ozark style episode, is the topic of food habituation. This will make more sense. If you have no idea what that is, that's fine. In about 30 seconds, you'll absolutely understand what I'm talking about. Now, again, for those of you who have kids, when you tell your kids they can't have something, what is it that they really, really want? When you were a kid, when you were told you can't have something, you can't do something, it's our human nature to say, you know what? I can and I will have that thing or do that thing, because just to prove to you, because you told me I couldn't. I don't know what it is about human beings. We're stubborn and we want what we want. And I get it. Food habituation works exactly like that. When, and again, everyone listening to this, I'm sure has experienced this at some point, myself included. Whenever you've jumped into a diet program, or you want to start a diet, or you want to lose some weight, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. Most of the time that involves cutting out specific foods. It's usually bread, carbohydrates, alcohol, sugar, whatever that diet's telling you to remove. It's typically those things. Those are always quoted as bad, which is ridiculous. But once you're told you can't, you know, you can't have those things, you know, you're disappointed, obviously, because you like those things. But like, no, you know what? I'm gonna do it because, you know, this is the diet I'm on. I want the results. This is the way to get it. You're thinking this. This is not what I'm telling you. So you start it, and then you're on that restrictive diet. You're going, and then your cravings for those foods never go away. In fact, you probably think about them more often than you have of late, and you might find yourself asking, you know, when your next cheat day is, or, you know, if you have a coach, asking them when your cheat day is or anything like that. My clients know that we don't do cheat days. That's not a thing. But basically what happens is you restrict a food for so long, you want it so bad. And the minute you have it, two things will happen usually. You're going to end up eating way too much of it to the point of probably making yourself feel really bad. And two, it's going to be even harder to quote unquote jump back on your diet because you had a bad food. And again, there's no good and bad foods, but this is what happens in people's minds. The solution to this is making those foods accessible and taking them off an off limits list. No foods are off limits. If you have a coach or are following a program right now, and there is an off limits list, I challenge you to leave. And maybe I'll get flack from other coaches for this. I don't really care. In the interest of helping people with their relationship with food, you do not need an off limits list. You need a better relationship with food where you're not labeling them as good or bad. Now that I got that out of the way. When you take them off of the off limits list, you're like, you know what? I am allowed to have bread, wine, chocolate, whatever it is. They're not bad for me. The novelty of that food automatically goes away because you're allowed to have it. You have permission. You've given yourself permission to have that food again. So it's not this forbidden fruit anymore. It's not taboo to have chocolate while you're losing weight. One of the best stories I love to tell happened in 2 years ago. One of my clients had ice cream nearly every day over the spring and summer and lost 25 pounds in 12 weeks. I think it was 25 pounds around there. It was amazing. I loved it. I thought it was great. We almost got into like Nestle drumstick eating competitions. But the minute you take the food and you know, almost like strip it of its power in a way, it just becomes another food. And then the next step in this exercise, what you do is you plan to eat it. And I know it sounds silly as I say that out loud, and you might be like, well, what the hell? Of course I'm going to eat it. Hear me out. We're going to use pizza for this example. So, you know, pizza is always deemed as a bad food. You're not allowed to have pizza when you're trying to lose weight, blah, 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 bullshit, whatever. What you're going to do is you're going to plan for that pizza. You're going to say, I'm going to have pizza at this time. I'm going to have this much pizza. And you're going to set the location, whether it's at home, restaurant, whatever. The next thing you do is you eat it. And while you're eating it, after you eat it, you sit. Because you might be a little bit uncomfortable in the moment. You might experience some anxiety. You might experience some guilt, some shame. These are past, you know, emotions you've had because of the negative connotation to a food like pizza. And again, if it's wine, if it's chocolate, if it's chips, whatever, burgers, fries, whatever it is for you. So sit in a little bit. You're going to get a little bit uncomfortable. That's okay. This is growth happening. Because once you can sit through that, understand that that food is not negatively impacting your progress. All you got to do is repeat the process until it becomes a normal part of your day. That is food habituation. That is probably one of the most powerful things you can do for yourself if you struggle with having foods. Because if you tell yourself you can't have a food and you have the food, you're going to have as much of it as you possibly can because you've been told it's bad and you shouldn't have it. So it just drives you to want it even more. I've had clients tell me they can't eat two Oreos. They have to eat the whole sleeve. This is why. It's from their past experiences. It's not that you have control issues. Part of it is the story we tell ourselves that we don't have control issues. I can promise you, you have more power than you think. You have way more control over your results than you think. Food does not control you. And I think that's something that maybe you have to self-talk that every single day. There's nothing wrong with that. Affirmations are a powerful tool. But the tips laid out in this podcast episode today are definitely some tools in your tool belt to help you navigate emotional eating. The biggest thing I can tell you, though, is you're not going to be perfect, and that's fine. You're not supposed to be perfect. Nobody is. A weight loss journey does not expect restriction, does not expect perfection. You just have to be consistent. Consistently show up for yourself, whether that is getting a workout in, whether that's saying no to dessert, or whether that's giving yourself permission to have a dessert because of what we just discussed. But you need to set the intention. You need to give yourself or not give yourself permission and be okay with the decisions you make. Because when you make the decision, when you take the power back and you don't feel like you have to do it for other people or because of it's normal or whatever other stories you've told yourself. When you take that power back and that control back, you change the outcome for yourself. You now dictate the results that you're going to get. Up until this point, everything you've done has not worked for you. And if it has, I'm happy for you. I'm sure most people listening to this right now are in a space where they need more work to be done. They haven't reached their goal yet. They don't know how to get there, or they've been there before, but what used to work for them isn't really working anymore. If that sounds like you, I strongly urge you to apply for coaching, right? Not everyone is a great fit. Not everyone's going to jive with me and vice versa. That's fine. If it's not with me, I strongly suggest you've never had a coach before and you've never reached your goal before, invest in a coach. Investing in your health is one of the best things you could possibly do because it gives you the structure, the system, the accountability, and the education to get you where you want to go and help you improve upon it by yourself after you're done with that coach. At least that's what any good coach will do for you. So if you like my style, if you are in line with what I'm saying or what I've said in the past, you feel like we'd be a good fit, there's going to be a button and a link in the show notes. Apply for coaching. If you want to DM me on Instagram, that's fine. Tell me you came from this podcast episode. That's cool with me. But it's my goal to help people improve their relationship with food, get to the body composition they want, but improve upon it when they're done working with me. That's my goal with this, is to teach as many people to do this for themselves, because there's too much crap in the industry. And I always go on a mini rant about the industry, but there's too much. And I can only help so many people, but you need to want to be helped at the end of the day. I can't help someone if they don't want to help themselves. You have to put the work in. So if you feel like you're not in a space to put the work in, that's fine. The fact that you recognize that is important. But if you're like, you know what? I've had enough. It's time to put the work in. I got you. Apply in the show notes. DM me on Instagram at StrongJohnFitness. We'll have a chat. We'll see if we're a good fit. If not, no big deal. No hard feelings. I can send you to other coaches that might be a better fit for you. Or I have resources I can put you towards. Either way, you'll get something from me. That's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you love the episode, share it on Instagram. Tag me. That'd be awesome. I love that. If you want to give me a review, an honest review, I'm always accepting reviews. I think that's a great thing. I love feedback. Share it with a friend. I'm sure you know of other people that struggle with emotional eating. If you found this was helpful for you, I guarantee it'll help people like you. Share it. That's what this is for. This podcast is free. I don't make money off this stuff. I just want to share the message. I want to help as many people as I can with this kind of stuff. So thank you again for listening. We'll talk to you on the next episode.